Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Everybody happy?
Yes.
Oh, it's good to be saved. It's good to be amongst fellow believers. Good. Didn't the Lord say where two or three are gathered together in His name, what would happen? He said He would be right here in the middle of us, in the midst of us. Do you believe that He is?
Yes.
Somebody say He's here.
He's here.
Well, He didn't come without His power or without His healing or His revelation. Everything that He has is here with Him. And we're believing God for that, aren't we? Believing God for answers, for direction, for a supply of the Spirit. Some of the greatest miracles happen in a way that you can't immediately observe them. Some of the greatest miracles happen inside the hearts of men and women. And changes are made that's not always immediately obvious, but something was changed. And the thinking begins to be changed, and the believing changed, and the words and the actions. And over the course of the next days and months and years, they wind up at a completely different place, a completely different person. And the Word of God has the power to do that. And the Holy Spirit has the power to do that. Somebody say, so be it.
So be it.
So be it. Let me be changed into His likeness, into His image, from glory to glory, by the Spirit of the Lord. Did you bring a Bible?
Yes.
What do you want to do? Well, we sang a song last night, didn't we? You know, we have to watch about being heady, intellectual, because that's not the same thing as being spiritual. You can have a head full of information and a heart that's lacking. You don't believe God with your head. Romans says, for with the heart man believes. And so we exercised our hearts some last night.
Amen.
Didn't we? Wasn't too hard to learn the song. After a little while you had that. But you know, you think about some of the great songs that the Lord's given us. Let me remind you of this one. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Then what do you sing? Oh, the blood of Jesus. Then what do you sing? Oh, the blood of Jesus. Then you change a little bit. What? It washes white as snow. Hallelujah. It's not just the amount of words or how clever, it's the anointing. It's the anointing, it's the presence of the Lord that destroys the yokes and removes the burdens. Turn, please, to the New Testament. And let's look at Scripture that we looked at last night and see how far we get tonight. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And then we'll be looking at Psalms 118. 2 Corinthians 6 and Psalm 118. We did bring some materials again. They'll be available to you as before for no cost, no charge. Just receive, if you would, like one per household, and that way they'll go further. If you want more, there's no problem. Go online. You can download everything we got. Music, teaching, preaching, all of that. And you need hard copies, then the office at the ministry will send you that too. No cost. We got a book now, a workbook on healing that's new. And recommend that to you, especially if you know somebody that's believing God and dealing with some symptoms and issues. It's the teaching that the Lord gave us many years ago at Brother Hagin's ministry in healing school on 30 reasons why we're sure it's God's will for all of us to be healed today. And I've found that the Word of God has a displacing effect on your heart and your mind. If you just keep putting the Word of God in, and like, you know, one reason is because He's our Father, because types of redemption, because Jesus took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses because of long life, and on and on and on. Well, it just keeps pushing in you, pushing in you. You keep doing that, it'll push all the doubt out. It'll push all the fear and all the wondering and worrying out. And you, I know one lady said this years ago there in healing school. She'd stayed with us for weeks and weeks and was totally healed, praise God, by the power of God. Somebody asked her what happened to her. She said, "I got so full of faith, there was no more room for the cancer." It had no more room. It had to get out. It displaced it. Is the Word of God, the life of God, greater than any force of disease or death? It is. Hallelujah. Greater is He that's in us. So those things are available to you. Take advantage of that and be a tool to help people that are believing God for their healing. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the first verse. 2 Corinthians 6 and 1. You said you're believing with me tonight, right? I heard the prayer that Pastor prayed. You said amen. Right? Because there's so many different ways we could go in these things, and our time is not unlimited. And so we'll have the right thing right now. What do you think? Verse 1 says, "We then as workers together with Him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Is it possible to be given something that is wonderful and amazing and everything you need in the grace of God, and yet it do you no good? Receiving the grace of God in vain. And then he goes on to say, "For," so that connects what he just said with what he's saying now. "For," he says, "I have heard you in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee," or helped you. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Everybody say that out loud. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When is the acceptable time? When is the day to be saved? Now. Now. And as we said last night, I looked that word N-O-W up. And it says, you know, Strong's and Vines and different ones. They bring out the idea that it means the immediate present, as opposed to while ago or soon or later. When does it mean? When is now? Is everybody clear on when now is? When's now? Now, right now. The immediate present. What about now? Now is the time that is acceptable to God to do things. Now, that's contrary to a whole lot of church preaching right there. Because a whole lot of folks will tell you it's obviously not God's acceptable time to do something right now, but He will in His own good time and good way when and if He decides. So they're saying it's not the acceptable time, not yet. And oh, there's a danger there. Because if you ask, "Is it time yet?" there's somebody that will answer you. A thought will come to you, "No, not yet." And then a year later, "Is it time yet?" "No, not yet." The enemy will tell you for the rest of your life. "No, not yet. No, no. When can we do this?" "Well, not yet." It's a trick of the enemy. If he can't get you to say, "Okay, we're not going to believe for that. We're not going to do that." If he can't get you to just give up on it and be hopeless, his fallback position is simply this. "Well, let's wait on it. Let's wait on it. You need to get some sin out of your life. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Soon. You got some habits. You got some flesh stuff that you need to change. Yeah, I'm thinking about it. Yeah, we need to do that. Well, when you say that, what did you just say? Not now. Not now. But then, when you get to tomorrow, and you say not now, and the next day, and you say not now, see, the enemy knows this. If he can get you to put it off long enough, it's the same as you deciding you're never going to do it to begin with. It works out exactly the same. He's very subtle. He's very tricky. We never do anything yesterday. Because when we were there, it was now. Nobody ever did anything tomorrow. Because when tomorrow gets here, it won't be tomorrow, it'll be now, and tomorrow will still be off in the distance. We can't live in any other time than now. Is everybody awake? So if we're going to do anything, it'll have to be when we do it, it'll be now, when we're doing it. And when God does something in our life, when would it be? Whenever it happens, it'll be now. When is the accepted time to God for Him to do things, for things to happen? Now. When is the day when God saves? Now is the day of salvation. Don't let this be too simple. Somebody might say, well, I heard that last night, Brother Keith. I got it the first time you said it. I don't know that you did. This is not about logging it in your mental library. And you know how you can tell when you're getting it? You quit doing this. Okay. That's interesting. Now, you begin to get excited because it's life to you. Life begins to go off on the inside of you, and that's when things change. You really start believing it instead of just mentally agreeing with it. Say it one more time. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Salvation's the big word of the New Testament. If you look it up, other words that are translated from the same Greek and Hebrew word having to do with being made whole, being sound, being healed, being protected. When you said, I'm saved, you said a lot. You said a lot more than saved from hell. Saved from what? Well, everything that a person needs to be saved from. You've been saved from fill in the blank. That's one reason why God says, I am. Well, you am what? He am too much to say in one sentence. But He am everything. Every good thing and every perfect thing and everything you could ever need, He is. Notice it's not He was. Notice it's not He will be. He is the great I am now. Go to Psalm 118, please. Psalm 118. Verse 21. Psalm 118:21 says, I will praise you, for you have heard me and are become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Now think about this, because the very next phrase he says, this is the day the Lord has made. When Jesus came, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Isn't that right? He came to them. We're going to read it in just a moment. He came to them and told them that the time is now. And that He was the one. And they accepted neither one of those. They refused to accept that He is the one. And millions today are doing the same thing. And they refuse to accept that it's now. But it goes on to say, This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. If it's marvelous in your eyes, it's exciting to you. You're not bored about it. You're not unimpressed. It's marvelous. Somebody say it's marvelous.
Marvelous.
What's marvelous? Marvelous means you marvel at it. You go, wow, that's amazing. Sometimes people say, is it necessary? All this hollering and carrying on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just don't see the point in all that. Yeah, as you said it right. There's some stuff you don't see. That's some stuff you don't have yet. I started to say you don't got yet, but that's true too. Do you have to act like that? Well, obviously you don't. A lot of people don't. But you get enough of the right thing in you, you will express it. Huh? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You get full enough of it. It'll come out of your eyes and your ears and your face and your mouth. And if it's not coming out, it's just you're not full enough. Are you full of something else? But the good news is, no matter what you've been full of, you can get full of Him. Full of Him, full of God, full of faith, full of love, full of peace, full of joy, life. And when you do, you'll act some way. Well, you might not act exactly like me or somebody else, but you won't just sit there. Nobody does. Nobody does. You'll express joy. Now, that goes along with this. What does it say? This is the day which the Lord has made. What will we do? He could have said a lot of it. He could have said, we will be quiet and meditate. He could have said a lot of things, couldn't he? But what did he say? We will rejoice and be glad in it. Look at the next verse. What does it say? Save now. When?
Now.
When? This is the day. This day now that the Lord has made, that we're rejoicing and being glad in it, and you get saved now. What else goes along with it? Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Saved now and prosperous now and rejoicing now and glad now. This is the day the Lord has made. The salvation day. The prosperity day. Now, beware of one day. Beware of one day. Because it can be something that never happens. Now I'm going to say some things, and you're believing with me, right? To get all this out just exactly like we need to. The Lord said through Brother Kenneth Hagin, my father in the faith, numerous times through, I heard him through his ministry. He'd say, many are seeking the spectacular and missing the supernatural. Many are seeking the spectacular and missing the supernatural. What does that mean? It means they have something spectacular, which is actually fantasy, in mind. And they're looking for it in the distance, not realizing that something real, that's God, is in front of them right now. And ignore that, or even reject it, and keep on looking for some pie in the sky, spectacular something that's not even real. There's a big difference between living in a dream world versus living the dream. living the dream versus living in a dream world. What am I talking about? You, how many part of this church right here? Raise your hand. I want to see. You are sitting in a dream. Oh, that was weak. I mean, I don't know everything about the church and the history of it, but Pastor just got through talking about it. This place, not what, just a few years ago, was a dream. Didn't exist. It was a vision. Right? You're sitting in it. You're sitting in it. We're having church in it. I'm preaching in it. We got seed in you, too. Everything you do, I got a piece of it. Everything you do. You can't get away from me. How many think wise people would be investing heavily into the kingdom of God everywhere that you can? I believe it's much bigger than we even know. In time to come, we're going to find out. But this facility didn't exist. Didn't exist. There was grass out here. Right? Just a few short years ago. You need to say it out loud, church. We're living the dream. Come on, if you could have just, if you can put yourself, rewind back just 5 years. And if you can try to remember where you were and how you were thinking 5 years ago, and then just pick yourself up and go, boom, put yourself right here tonight. If you could have transported from there instantly to here, you would shout till daylight in the morning. Thinking, God. But because it has happened slowly, you know, days and weeks and months and years, and you get to acclimate and adjust to it. But here's the thing. Because it happens this way, the enemy works continuously to get us to downplay and minimize everything that God's doing. And everything, and you even see it in the popular language, whatever. Don't use whatever. It's a disrespectful term. No big deal. When God does something, it's a big deal. And you need to make a big deal out of it. And you do need to do a great deal of praising God and shouting and hallelujah. People right now, other parts of the world, meeting in the street because they can't get a place. The government won't let them have a place to meet in. They have to meet in the rain and in the cold. Large churches. Look at you. Air conditioned. Roof over our head, lights, sound. Preach anything the Lord tells us to preach. Anything. We can have a Jericho march for 3 days if we want to. Is that right? We're living the dream. You believe it or not? Now, don't let this pass by you. The devil is the great despiser. Despise means to belittle, to make nothing of. And I'm believing God, the Spirit of the Lord, will open your and my eyes so that we recognize it all around us and we stop yielding to it. Stop it. Whatever. Okay. No big deal. Yeah, sure, right. Yeah. No, because how we respond to God determines what we get next. Y'all with me, friends? Despisers don't receive more and bigger and better. In fact, they're in danger of losing what they have. To him that has, shall more be given. To him that has not, will be taken away. Even what he seems to have. And if you look at the passage, it's talking about esteeming and valuing and using fully what God gives you. I know the first time I spoke in Brother Hagin's place at the healing school. He wasn't there a particular day and they asked me to speak. And I was so green. Oh, man. Pitiful green. And they asked me, and I had told them, well, anything I can do to help. I was talking to people after the service and I was setting up and tearing down. I wasn't preaching at all. And they asked me to speak. And I had already told them anything I could do. So I said, okay, yeah. And then they left. And I thought, I spoke too quick. And actually, I'm turning around to go back to talk to this person and tell them, look, I know I said yes, but I really don't have the experience. Because I'm thinking, you know, these people don't need somebody new practicing on them. They got serious issues. They need some help here. And the Spirit of God prompted me, you better ask me. I thought, well, I reckon so, yeah. So what about it, Lord? He said, I don't mean I've heard a voice, but he directed me, yes. Stay with what you said. Yes. Oh, man. I couldn't half think on the drive home to our little apartment down in the rough part of town. When I got there, I literally crawled into the little closet and shut the door. And I prayed and I thought, what am I going to say? I mean, everything I know, I'll say in 5 minutes. And then if I repeat it, that's just 10 minutes. And then what am I going to do? I really was troubled about this. And so... Finally, I must have done that for 45 minutes. Finally, I just kind of ran out of gas and laid over on my side and got quiet. Looking back now, it's the first time the Lord had an opportunity to say anything to me. And thoughts begin to come to my mind. I don't mean I heard a voice, but he began speaking to my heart. He said, son, do you remember the little boy's lunch? 5 loaves, 2 fish. What I did with that. How many people we fed. And I thought, yeah. He said, I can do a lot with a little. Amen. He said, you feel like you've got so little, you know, compared to Brother Hagin. At that time, 50-something years of ministry and visions of the head of the church and tangible anointing. I mean, how do you compare yourself to that? You don't. Amen. Is anybody listening? The Bible said you're foolish if you compare. Why? Because that's got nothing to do with me. That's what the Lord gave him. What do I need to do? It's the first time I begin to see it. The Lord dealt with me about Paul said, I magnify my office. That's not him bragging on himself because he didn't call himself to that. What is he doing? He's magnifying, making a big deal out of what God gave him. Or are you awake, saints? Everybody needs to make a big deal out of what God gave you. That's not bragging on yourself because you didn't give it to yourself. Whatever grace, whatever anointing, whatever revelation, I saw it. I saw just like that. I saw I've got to quit begging God for something. I need to be thankful for what I have right now. And I need to do everything I know to do with what I have right now. And I need to believe Him to multiply it. Just like the loaves and fishes. Right? And so I felt like I had a half a cracker and a sardine. But I went ahead and I got ready and I went and I stood up there and I basically prayed, Lord, thank you for this bountiful provision. It's faith. And I began to share. And as I did, here would come verses to my remembrance, illustrations to my remembrance. And I looked down at the clock and I'd spoken for 50 minutes. And the people are looking there, you know, looking at me like, that was good. And I'm thinking, they do not know what a miracle this is today. They have witnessed one of the greatest miracles. God gives His precious things to those who value them, those who esteem them, the people who are whatever, no biggie, don't get His precious things. That's why they continue to be bored and dissatisfied week after week and month after month and always waiting for something. It doesn't work that way. That's not how it works. Rejoicing is faith's response to the gift of God. Rejoicing is faith's response. If you believe it, if you value it, you rejoice. Now, we're going to say a bunch of different things about this as the Lord would help us, but that's one of the most important things I believe that we're to think about during this night, during this time right now. Said out loud, rejoicing,
rejoicing
is faith's response.
Is faith's response.
I'm going to go further. If you refuse to rejoice, you're refusing to believe. Absolutely the truth. If you refuse to rejoice, if you can't be persuaded to rejoice, then you can't be persuaded to believe. You're being unpersuadable. When I first started working at the healing school there at Brother Hagin's ministry, again, like I said, so green, and we'd just been under his ministry just a few months at that time, and people had come in, they got serious physical needs, and I'd share with them the scriptures I've just learned recently. By His stripes, you were healed. Himself took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses, carried our pains. Different thing, you know, a few things that I had learned. And sometimes I'd start to quote a verse to the people that have told me their problem, and they'd finish it for me. And one guy said to me, yeah, I've been knowing those scriptures. I've been following Brother Hagin's ministry for 20-some years. And I was a faith person while your mama was still changing your diaper. And you want to say, well, if you got so much faith, what are you doing here talking to me, trying to get some help, you know? But I thought it was me. I thought, because I'm so green and so little knowledge, I thought, well, I got to find some other verses. These people already know these, and they're not excited about them. I got to find some new stuff that they'll get excited about, because this is not working too good. And I'm praying about it and seeking the Lord about it, and He basically told me, no. And I don't mean, again, I heard a voice, but inside me, He brought to my understanding. He said, son, if somebody's got a need and the answer's plainly in my word and you give it to them and they remain upset and sad, they don't believe it. Are y'all listening? They don't believe it. You don't need a new verse. They need to believe what I told them. How could you tell they believe it? If you're sick and you find out by His stripes, I am healed, and with long life, He'll satisfy me and show me His salvation, If you remain unmoved, you don't believe it. If you remain unaffected, if you remain upset, if you remain sad and depressed, you don't believe what He told you. And if you're walking beside and refuse to walk by faith, then you're not going to believe anything has happened until you see it and you feel it. So you're not going to believe anything has happened now. And you're wishing and wanting something to happen soon, which any unbeliever can do. Requires no faith to do that. But it takes faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. To rejoice over something that you haven't seen or felt yet and don't know how it could happen that yet. If you do, if you genuinely rejoice about that, it proves you have confidence in the One who told you that He can do it and He will do it. Hallelujah. We were just a couple of weeks ago. There's another church on the other side of the country that's having a building program. And the Lord had dealt with us to actually complete a phase of their development. And I didn't do it lightly, but after I got settled on it, sent word to the brother. Man, he shouted. Ooh, he shouted. He was so happy. And I began to think, now, he hadn't got a penny of this money yet. He didn't know whether I've got it or whether we got it or not. He didn't know anything about our finances. What's he shouting about? Huh? He has faith in me, in my words, in our ability, doesn't he? And you can see, what if he'd have responded like this? Well, that's nice. We'll see. You know, we'll wait and see. If you wait to rejoice till you see it, that means there's zero trust. Zero faith. You're investing no faith at all. But if he could rejoice because I told him we're going to do something that meets a need, I'm a man, I could lie, I could fail. How come we couldn't rejoice when God tells us something? Knowing He cannot lie, He's never failed. Why couldn't we just go ahead, no matter what we're feeling or seeing at the time, why couldn't we rejoice? Rejoice! Like it's done. Because if He said it, He can do it. He will do it. So we rejoice, even though we haven't seen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Let me go back and say it again. Rejoicing is faith's response. If you don't rejoice about the good thing God told you, then you don't believe it yet. You don't believe it. If you can't be persuaded to rejoice, you can't be persuaded to believe. Are there a lot of people who are slow or just won't rejoice? Don't look around. Just look straight ahead. Are there folks that come to church, a lot of folks that come to church, and man, you just never see them rejoicing. And they just, no matter what's happening, they never even crack a smile. I mean, the Spirit of God can be moving. People can be jumping up and down and running the aisles. And they're like this. Well, that's just how I am. No, no, no. There's a lot bigger problem to it than that. People say, that's just my nature. Is bound the word you're looking for? Because you can get free. I'm not talking about how loud you can be and acting the fool. I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about genuine rejoicing. Genuine being glad and being happy because you believe what He told you. And you believe, well, that's it. That's it. It's done. He said this. That's it. It's done. Party time. Oh, somebody say glory to God. Go to Peter, please. 1 Peter. 1st chapter. Oh, thank you, Master. Do I have any believers in the house? Well, what would that mean? How would we know? You're a believer. You're a rejoicer. When God tells you something, you believe it. And you get happy about it. Everybody's going to express that a little differently, but you're not going to be unimpressed. And bored or still upset and still scared about the situation. If you are, it means you don't believe it yet. You don't believe it yet. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, actually, I should have told you to go to another place first. Go to Romans on your way to 1 Peter. Go to Romans. And was it about the 15th chapter or so? Romans 15 and 13. Romans 15, 13 says, now, the God of hope, the word hope means confident expectation. Hope is a faith word. In our circles, hope has gotten a bad rap. And it's because of the way the word is used in recent and modern vernacular. People have said, well, will you be healed when we pray for you now? And folks say, well, I sure hope so. And folks go, oh, no. That's not faith. Well, it's not hope either. It's not hope either. If it was real hope, it would be faith. Now, if this sounds strange to you, don't throw it away. What is faith? It's the substance or the foundation of things what? Hoped for. It's when you've got faith, you're always going to have hope. Somebody said, don't you mean you get hope first? No. You get faith and that gives you hope. And the reason that sounds confusing to people is because they've been calling desire hope. You can have desire before you have faith. But you don't have confident expectation until you have faith. Don't throw this away. Study it out. See if it's right or not. Anybody expecting anything in here tonight? I'm talking about in your life. Before the year is over? Anybody believing for anything? Are you expecting something to happen? Do you know why you're expecting something to happen? Because you believe something. You're persuaded of something. And that expectation is resting on the foundation of that persuasion. When people say, I sure hope so, they're not talking about Bible hope. They mean, I wish it would be. I want it to be. That's desire. That's got nothing to do with faith or hope. And so it's been confusing because of the way the language is used. But God is He a God of faith? You know what else He is? He's a God of hope. And you're really saying the same thing because they work hand in hand. Where you see one, you see the other. He's the God of expectation. The God of confident expectation fill you with what? Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. When you're in believing, you're going to have some joy. You're going to have some peace. If you have no joy, if you're depressed, you're not believing. I don't care what you say. If you have no peace, you're not believing. You're not in faith. I don't care if you made 5 good confessions that morning. You don't believe it yet. Because when you believe it, you quit despairing. If you believe you're going to live, you quit being scared you're going to die. It's not confusing. When you believe all your bills are going to be paid, you're no longer upset that you might not make it out. It's so simple to detect, too. Are you crying? Are you scared? Are you upset? Are you worried? It means you're not in faith. How could you tell you're in faith? The God of hope, expectation, filled you with all joy and peace. You got joy because you're excited about what you know's happening. You got peace because you can breathe a sigh of relief and know God's got it. It's going to be fine. You can relax. You can rest. You can sleep. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in expectation through the power of the Holy Spirit. Faith people are happy people. Just because you got some stickers on your car or refrigerator or some books and tape series at your house doesn't mean you are living by faith every hour. It's a choice. What are you going to yield to? You can walk by sight, get scared, get upset, worry, fret, or you can walk by faith. The Lord gave me this little phrase years ago. I'll repeat it for you. Doubt despairs, complains, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Why don't you say that out loud? Doubt despairs, complains, and is sad. So when you hear despair and depression and complaining and sadness, what do you know? Doubt. Just, well, I gotta keep figuring out what's wrong. I can help you. Plain old garden variety unbelief. It's not some great mystery. You're just full of unbelief about this thing. How many know you can have strong faith in one area and not so hot in another area? And it comes back to having fed your faith in that area and using your faith in that area. And the ones you don't feed your faith in that area, don't use it, well, it'll be weak. Yes. Doubt despairs, complains, and is sad. But faith, tell me what faith does, anybody. What does faith do? It rejoices. Somebody say faith rejoices. Faith rejoices. Rejoice is not something you think about. Rejoice is something you do. Makes you glad. Makes you happy. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. And the more you live by faith, you just stay up all the time. You don't have to have bad days. I know people do. People talk stuff they ought not talk. They say, well, you know, we all have our down days are bad. How do you know? You don't know everybody. How do you know everybody has a down day? I refuse to join that club. Even if a day got off to a rocky start, I'm convinced it can still end up good. I don't have to have a bad day. The last 30 minutes of God moving can take an otherwise troublesome day and make it a wonderful day. But if you throw up your hands and you despair and you get sad and you get depressed, well, it's going to be a bad day. You've yielded to it. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Go with me to Luke, please. 4th chapter. Now, I didn't preach very long last night, did I? So what about that time we didn't use? Is that... It's not just gone, is it? I mean... That was my time, wasn't it? Was that my time? Where? Oh, yeah, thank you. Ooh, thank you. Do I have any rejoicing people in here? Have any believers? Thank you, Lord. And it's not just about making a lot of noise. It's about genuinely being happy about something, being glad about something. And you don't have to see it and feel it and have proof of it to be excited about it. Faith can be excited about things that don't look that way at all. Faith shouts while the walls are still up, doesn't it? And when you get like this, people will wonder what's the deal with you. They'll even think something's wrong with you maybe sometimes. They think, would you look at that poor dear? Look at that big smile. Listen at that laugh. Did they not understand how much trouble they're in? Do they not realize what a mess they've got to deal with? Well, if you're going to come out of it victoriously, you got to respond in faith. And faith doesn't fall down and cry and feel sorry for itself. Faith doesn't throw up his hands and say there's no way. Nothing can happen. Faith says all things are possible to him that believes. I've prayed. I've said it. I believe it. He's heard it. What remains for me? But praise and rejoicing and being glad. And so it's just, you can train yourself. You can train your little head and your soul and your heart. You can train yourself. Do you know what training is? Animals can be trained. Right? Can't they? They hear a certain whistle and they do a certain thing. Because they get a treat. And they will do the same thing every time. Why? They've been trained. And what it took to train them that way was repetition. Over and over and over and over again until they just do it by instinct. They'll hear it and don't even know why they're doing it. They just, that's what we do when we hear that sound. That's what we do when we smell that smell. That's what we do when we hear that command. You don't think it, you just do it. You can train your soul, your tongue, your mind to respond to every challenge with rejoicing. I don't know if you heard that or not. You can train yourself. A lot of people don't realize it, but they trained themselves to fall apart. Mom and daddy was trained to fall apart when it got bad. And so they trained them. They came up and they saw that's what you do when things are bad. You cry, you scream, you fall apart, you pull your hair, you don't sleep. They're trained to do it. They'll do it without even thinking. Oh, bad news. And that's exactly like the whole unsaved world responds. And if you want something different than what they're getting, you're going to have to respond differently than how they're responding. James says, go there, please. I got plenty of verses we can go to. Go to James for now. 1st chapter. It says, James 1, verse 2. My brethren, do what? Count it all joy when blessings flow into your life. No, that's easy. Here's the challenge. When what? You fall into divers, different kinds of temptations, challenges, trials, tests. What is your response? What is your response? You had a, you just found out you owe an extra $100,000. And they're laying you off at the plant. Really? How do you respond? Well, how'd you respond if you wasn't in here with us tonight? They just handed you your pink slip. Huh? See, we ought to be different from the world. We ought to be different from unbelievers. What are they going to do? They're going to cry. They're going to cuss. They're going to get mad. Right? They're going to go get drunk. They're going to get depressed. Fall apart. They're going to come in and slap their wife and kick the cat. And what is all that going to do for them? Yeah, it's going to do something for them. It's going to make it way worse. Isn't it? You just thought you had some problems. Now you got all these other problems. No. If you don't want what the world has, you don't want to be locked into that, you've got to respond differently. And here's how you do it. Didn't say it felt like all joy or looked like all joy, but by faith you can count it all joy, knowing something. Because you know something. What did the next verse say? What does it say? Knowing something, that the trying of your faith works patience. What else? Let patience have her perfect work so that you will wind up how? Perfect means complete, entire, wanting nothing. Because you know God's already told you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world and the age. Yes. Right? Yes. Told us He'd hear our prayers. Told us He'd hold our hand. He'd walk us through it. He'd meet our needs. Didn't He say all these things?
Yes.
So no matter what it is, no matter how the report is, or how it might, and I'm not saying that the first time you hear it, it may not bother your flesh and your mind. It can shake you. It can jar you. It can surprise you. But what you do in the next 3 seconds is so vitally important. Are you going to lay down and cry and vent? Or are you going to say, is that right? Well, then I know this. I'm about to see something good. I'm about to have a better job. I'm about to see God do something. Come on, are you listening? And you don't have to have a clue what that might be. You just respond in faith. And if you're in believing, you're going to have joy and peace full of expectation. I know a friend of mine had a little airplane that he had just got not too long back, a preacher. And he was flying over to some place. And while he was there, tornado came through, picked up his little airplane, turned it upside down, slammed it on the ground, just messed it all up. I thought, he just got that little plane. And so I went to get in touch to find out what had happened. And his first word, his first response is, glory to God, I'm getting a better airplane. I thought, yes, sir. He really is not just a faith preacher. He's a faith man. Not just talk about faith. Actually have some. How can you tell if you actually have some? You'll see it in how you respond to challenges, problems, trials, temptations. Count it all joy. Glory to God. Did you still have 1 Peter, or did we didn't get to that? Well, let's get to it. Get to it. 1 Peter. Close, isn't it? 1 Peter 1, verse 5, he said, you're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God's keeping power in our life is connected to our faith. Verse 6, what does it say? Wherein you do what? You greatly rejoice because life is so easy for you. Things are going so good. What? No. You're in heaviness through manifold temptation. Can you rejoice over heaviness and through heaviness? Come on, can you? Can you count it all joy? Feelings come to us all. Feelings, thoughts, sensations, temptations, and they're real. They're very real. But here's the great truth. You can feel like 40 miles of muddy road. You can feel lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. That's an old saying. You can feel lousy and you don't have to act like you feel. Oh, come on, listen and say, you don't have to act how you feel. You can choose to resist those feelings of despair and depression and by faith rejoice in what you know to be true in your God. Now you notice this. You'll see people who are immature, both naturally and spiritually, you'll hear them overuse this word. Feel. Listen to teenagers, in particular, that haven't had that much word in them, and young believers. They might be 50 years old on the outside, but they're only been born again 5 years or whatever. You'll hear them talk all the time about how I feel. I just feel this, and I just don't feel that. Now I really feel, but I didn't feel, and I would like to feel. Feel, you might as well be saying flesh, 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 because that's where you're living. If you're living in feelings, you're living in flesh. And the child of God, born again of the Spirit of God, with the Spirit of God indwelling you, does not have to live by feelings. Oh, you'll have them. You'll have them. They're there. But it's your choice. You can feel like crying. You can feel like staying in the bed and pulling the blinds and putting a cool cloth on your head. And tell them to hold my calls. And if you yield to that, it will immediately get worse. Did anybody hear that now? If you yield to it, it will immediately start getting darker and stronger and worse because you're yielding to it. You're giving place to it. You're giving in to it. I know I was on the mission field some years ago and made the mistake and drank some water that I shouldn't have drunk. And some other things. And there was a group of us. And the next morning, as I awoke, something was not right about my stomach. Oh, man. Such rumbling. Such movement and feelings. And I'm thinking, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. And there were a number of people that were already sick and had stayed in bed the last 2 days. Didn't even get out of bed. And just by the grace of God, I just knew in my spirit, boy, if you lay here, you're going to be in trouble. If you give in to this, you're going to be in trouble. And so I made myself, I drugged myself out, and boy, I didn't feel like it. And I went into the bathroom and looked in the mirror, and I thought, whoo, don't look, just don't even look. And I was pale, white as my shirt here tonight. And I put one foot in front of the other, and I got dressed, and I thought I was going to throw up 20 times putting my clothes on, but I didn't. And so somebody asked me, we were going to go do some physical work on the side of a mountain that day, on a church building, high altitude. And the thought, you know, thoughts kept coming to me. You're not able. You're sick. You're sick. You're sick. You're sick. What we don't realize is even though the feelings and the symptoms are so real, we haven't lost this battle yet. Come on, is anybody listening to me? All this stuff is there, but it's not over. Spiritually, it's not done. The enemy is trying to get a right to enforce it in your life. What he needs is your words. He needs your unbelief and your fear to have a right to really enforce it and make it stick. I made it on the vehicle, and I made it out to the site. And, oh, man, I'd have to stop every once in a while. Sweat was just, cold sweat was just rolling off of me. But you know what? Before lunch, when we broke for lunch, I realized I had forgotten to feel bad. I realized cold sweat's gone. I feel okay. I didn't realize when it had happened. I'd been busy helping them haul this over there and do this and the other. And I'm immediate. From that point on, no symptoms, no problems. There were other people who stayed in the bed for 2 weeks. Several of them. I know it was the same thing. And I know I'd have been there too. If I'd have just laid back down and said, y'all go on without me. I can't. How do you respond to things? Do you accept it? Do you get upset with it? You get down over it? That means you don't believe that greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. It means you don't believe that your healer is bigger than your symptoms and your problem. Right? Well, you find out you got a big bill. The further we go in ministry, bigger the numbers get. You ever been on TV very much? Whoa. Boy, they're proud of those slots, those time slots. And they just keep, the bills come every week. They just keep coming. I like what Brother Jesse Duplantis said one time. Him, Brother Copeland, was on one of the Brother Copeland's broadcasting. Brother Copeland asked him, Jesse, because he's on a lot of TV, and he said, What do you do when they hand you all these big bills for all the TV? He says, I go, Jesus, you got mail. Did you know you can do that too? You can do that too. But if you look at it and you go, $10,000? Where am I going to get $10,000? And you get upset. And you get mad. And you get trying to figure out how to get out of it. A lot of Christians get dishonest. Did you hear me? Even though they know they owe it, they know they should pay it. It's a lot of money and they don't want to and they don't have it. So they lie. They try to act like I shouldn't have to do it, and they know they should. They're dishonest. And it's all because of fear and a lack of faith. If you need to pay it, you believe God. I said you believe God. And how could you tell you're believing God? You ask Him for it? You remind yourself of what He said? He might deal with you to sow a seed on somebody else's debt so you got some seed in the ground. And then what do you do? What do you do? You quit crying. I said you quit crying. You quit talking bad about people. You quit making excuses. You quit being depressed. You quit worrying. And you start thanking God. I said you start thanking God. And you start resting. It's going to be okay. And you begin to rejoice. Can you train yourself that no matter whatever happens, you respond by counting it all joy? Whatever it takes. You just begin to respond and go, man, this is going to be good. We're going to have a miracle. And you, the further you go with this, you'll get sassy. Anybody know what I mean by that? You'll get sassy. The devil try to do something, try to cause you a problem, try to attack you with something. You'll say, ha, you sure you want to do this now? You sure about this? Because you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make you eat this. Because I'm not just a winner. I am more than a conqueror. By the Lord's grace and Spirit in my life, I'm more than a conqueror. What does that mean, more than a conqueror? That means you get whooped, and that's not the end of it. Then you have to eat it. What does that mean? Every time I say that, I think about Brother Kenneth Hagin Sr. I think about, he actually died, he tells the testimony, at 16 years of age. And by the grace of God, came back. And he had an incurable blood disease and deformed heart. And they said if one thing hadn't killed him, the other thing would have killed him. And he should have been dead, you know, several times over. But he didn't die. He was healed by the power of God. Got revelation from Mark 11, 23 and 24. And got healed by the power of God. So he won that battle. But that wasn't the end. I said that wasn't the end. How many of you heard something about healing and faith through Kenneth Hagin? Look at this. What does that mean? That means he made the devil eat it for the next 60 years. Don't you suppose that by the 2 or 3 millionth book that began to circle the world about faith and healing, where the Spirit of God through him is telling everybody, you can have the devil under your foot, you can be healed, you can be delivered. Don't you think the devil is saying, I wish I hadn't put that on him. I wish I could just put it on somebody that just die with it and that'd be the end. But no, and he won't shut up about it. He just keeps on telling everybody how I couldn't kill him and I couldn't, the disease and the death. That's who you are. That's who I am. That's who we are. More than conquerors. That's how you can count it all joy. Something that would otherwise, and most folk, it just shake them to their core and scare them and put them in a tailspin. You just back up and go, all right, so you want to do this, huh? You want to do this? Make it light on yourself. Because I will not quit. I will not lay down and die with this. I will not quit. And I will make you eat this. I will tell everybody I can that you couldn't do it. We're going to publish this. I may take out ads in the paper. I may go on TV. I'm serious. Make him, after a few years of this, he'll hesitate before he starts on you. Because he'll think, that last time didn't turn out so good. I'm not saying he'll quit, but he'll find out. You don't lay down. You don't run scared. You know you can resist him, and he has to run. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You had enough, or can you take any more? Tell me when the day of salvation is. Huh? Now. Now is the day. Go to Philippians 4, please. Did we ever read 1 Peter? Huh? We didn't finish it up, did we? No, go back to 1 Peter. I didn't finish it. Then we'll read it and then we'll go to Philippians 4. We didn't finish it. I got so much here and stirring in my heart. I'm believing for the right thing. 1 Peter, he said, the trial of your faith, verse 6, you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you do what?
Rejoice.
What do you do when you're believing?
Rejoice.
You rejoice. Amen. Even though you haven't seen it yet. You rejoice. With joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's serious rejoicing. Come on, think about it. How many believe that heaven is real? That they're working on your place up there right now. Is that right? Working on your place. Reckon it'll be nice? Can I come see it? Heard this fellow's testimony one time. He died and was dead, for X amount of time, and they got him back. He's a believer. And when they got him back, he said he had gone to heaven. And he said he saw his place. And this is, I'm paraphrasing some of this, it's a long story, but he said he had real estate. I think people have this idea that mansion means kind of cookie cutter, white house with some columns in the front, and they all look the same, and they're down. Who said that?
Yeah.
He said he had a valley on one side and a mountain in the back. And he began to see some things, and he thought, that's what I always liked. I didn't know I liked that, but I really liked that. And he thought, this place is amazing. And he said the master was there. The Master Jesus. And he said, he looked at him and smiled and said, I know what each of my children like. And I custom build their abodes for them. You believe that? Is he that good? I looked that up after I heard that. You know where it says, in my Father's house are many mansions? It's actually that word that he used, abodes. And one similar word to that family is the word manor. Manor is a landed estate. How many think it'll be better than you thought? Well, can you get excited about that right now? I know you can. You just did. You're already looking at me going, woo-hoo, man, I'm thinking about my place. You haven't been there. What scientific proof you've got that it exists, that it's there? You believe it's there? And you get excited about it. You know why you get excited about it? Because you believe it. You believe it. You believe it's real. You believe it's there. You believe your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. You believe they're working on your place tonight. They're working on, say it out loud, they're working on my place. You think it's nice? Ooh. What do you think you'll say when you get there and look at it? You will go, wow. I think maybe for the first 500 years, this is what you'll do a whole lot of the time. You'll go, wow, glory to God, whoa, wow, woo, you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? Wow. What do? Believing, you do what? You rejoice. With joy unspeakable and full of glory. When you believe the good things the Lord said, we rejoice every time. If we can't be persuaded to rejoice, we can't be persuaded to believe. We're not rejoicing because we're not believing. Where's the next verse you're going to? Philippians 4. I'm thinking about closing, but not very seriously. This is special meeting time, right? We got a new building. We having church big time. Living the dream. That's exactly right. Huh? How can you look at your neighbor, see if they think they're living the dream or not. Look at them. Look at them. There should be no sourpuss, depression. Okay. You're not ready for Philippians. But we're going to get there. You need to go somewhere else first. I think you'll see when we do. Where is it? John. That's right. John 14. There are always folks in situations like this that'll say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm dealing with. I've just lost my best friend. My dad just died. My mom just died. I just got kicked out of my house. I just went through a divorce. I've been told I have a terminal disease. You wouldn't be cackling, ha, 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 if you had that. Well, you don't know that. You don't know what I would do. And I'm not saying pridefully what I do, but I know what I should do. No matter what, we just got through reading it. What should I do? I should count it all joy. Right? No matter what I'm looking at, knowing that God's bigger than that. And knowing that the end result, if I stay with Him, is victory. Victory. That He always causes me to triumph. And what you'll see is that the enemy is very crafty. He's very subtle in getting people, even believers, to look at the wrong thing and see it through distorted filters. See it wrongly. And again, when believers are staying down and can't shake grief and can't get out of the law that they're in, it's because they're seeing it wrong. They're looking at it wrong. In John 14, Jesus is about to leave. He's telling His disciples that He's leaving. And it upset them. They got troubled. They got upset about Him. And notice what He told them in John 14, 28. John 14, 28. He said, you've heard how I said to you, I go away. Man, they're upset. They're saying, we're going, they told Him, we're going with you. He said, you can't come right now. Peter said, if I have to die with you, I'm going with you. You're not leaving us. He said, you can't come now, but you will. In fact, He said, it's going to be better for you. Expedient that I go, because if I didn't go, the Father wouldn't send the Comforter. But He's going to send the Comforter, and He's been with you, but now He's going to be in you. 24/7. Now listen, if you believed that, what would you say? You would say, well, glory to God. Hate to see you go, but let's get it on in it. Let's get this done. But see, most folks won't receive that like that. They have trained themselves to sorrow and despair and worry and fear so long in their life till they just immediately go, well, yeah, but I don't miss you. And I can't stand the thought of being without you. Don't say things like, I couldn't live without them. I couldn't live without my spouse or without my mom or my dad. Don't say such things. You may need to for a little while. Hear how quiet it is? No. Notice what he said. You heard how I said to you, I'm going away, but I'm coming back again. If you loved me, what would you do? Or is anybody waiting here tonight? If Jesus said, if you loved me, you'd quit your crying. You'd quit your feeling sorry for yourself. Wouldn't you? Why? What would you do? You would rejoice. Why? Because I said, I'm going to the Father. And if everybody thought right and believed right, when he said that, there'd be this huge roar go through the crowd. Yay! Going to the Father. Instead, he hears, I just can't take it, Jesus. You cannot leave us. You're the best thing that ever happened to us. What does that mean? They don't believe enough, and they don't love Him enough. Because He said, if you love me, you'd be happy right now. You'd be rejoicing right now. Because I'm going to the Father. My dad went home to be with the Lord a few years back. And he wasn't all that old. And the circumstances in which it happened, it troubled me. And I thought, I was there when he went. And I was thinking, I'm just now getting to the place where I could do some things for him. And we're always big friends and buds. And I wanted him to be able to come with me on some meetings and let's do some play stuff together and vacation and just kind of get into the place where we could do some things. I thought we won't be able to do those things. I'll be honest with you, for about 3 days, it really bothered me. It troubled me. I was bothered by it. Of course, I close to him, so I felt it. He's gone, you know, and I'm not going to get to see him. About the third day, I was crying. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, Keith, you're being unthankful. I thought, huh? See, we think it's normal to roll in a pity party. That's just part of the normal grieving process. No, the sorrow of the world works death. I raised up and I thought, Lord, help me. I don't see it right now. What do you mean? He said, how many hours did you get to spend with your daddy? I had no idea. I got out the calculator. And it was hundreds of thousands. It was a lot of time. He said, do you understand? There, how many millions of boys on the earth never had a daddy? How many millions of boys, they had one, but it's almost better if they hadn't had him. I mean, he wasn't a good one and they didn't know him and they didn't have a good relationship with him. He said, you're being unthankful. He said, did you think everybody lives down here forever? You knew he's going to go sometime. I said, yes, sir. He said, besides that, all these things you said you wanted to do with him. Who said you're not going to get to do them? Some of the things you're thinking about doing, you won't care about later. But some of the things you will still get to do with your daddy. He's not just in your past, he's in your future. And if you think about what's happening with him right now, you would rejoice. He's He's not going to have to deal with one more pain or ache. He's not going to have to deal with one more day of getting older. He's not going to have to deal with any of the curse or the temptation or demons or crazy people down here. No more. He is free, free, free. He's in my presence. He's getting acquainted with his dad and his mom that's been there for years and relatives he didn't even know he had. And meeting people like Elijah. Chatting with Moses. If you really believed that, could you pull the blind and cry for another 3 weeks? You couldn't. I said you couldn't. Why would people refuse to rejoice when they hear truths like this? Because they refuse to believe. People choose not to believe. Wonderful truths like this are in the Word of God. They hear them, even in meetings like this. And there are those that go, yeah, but I don't care. I love my daddy and I can't stand. They want to hold on to that grief. It's a drug. And it's also an excuse to be incapacitated and people not expect anything out of you. Ah, bless their heart. You know, cut them some slack. They just lost their daddy 3 years ago. It's not right. I said, it's not right. I know the Lord had to tell me that. He said, you're being unthankful. And I saw it. I dried my eyes. I said, forgive me, Lord. You're right. I had and still have in heaven one of the best daddies that a boy ever had. I grew up down south. My daddy, as a 3-year-old, taught me how to eat popsicles at 2 a.m. He taught me how to do wheelies on a motorcycle. He taught me how to get rubber in second gear in a Mustang. I got no reason to be moping around here. I don't just preach these things. I believe these things. Heaven is real. God is real. People go, yeah, sorry for your loss. Sorry for your loss. Well, if somebody moved to Ohio, you don't say sorry for your loss. They're just over there. Right? You didn't lose them forever. They just moved. How many believe heaven's just as real as Pennsylvania? Is it real? It's real. It's real. You got family there? I said, do you have family there? Are they doing okay? Better than you? Way better than you. So what would you be feeling sorry for? Why would you be moping and grieving like those who have no hope? Now you're ready for Philippians. Go on over. I'm getting more serious about closing now. So, Philippians 4. Philippians 4. You believe the Lord's helping us, saints? He's helping us. You going to train yourself to count it all joy? No matter what you hear? No matter what you see? That's the same thing as saying, go into believing mode. Go into faith mode. Well, you can tell that you did is because instead of despairing and getting scared and coming apart, you start rejoicing. Why? What are you rejoicing about? I'm rejoicing about how God's going to get me out of this. We're going to have victory. We're going to have testimony. No matter how long it goes, what it takes, how bad it gets, when the dust clears, I'm going to be standing here with this great big smile on my face going, whoo, told you so, told you so, told you so. God showed up and showed off. Huh? Refuse to get down. Refuse to be afraid. Refuse. Say it out loud. I refuse to fear. I refuse to sorrow like those who have no hope. I refuse. No. I'm a rejoicer. This is the day right here, right now. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm living in the dream. I'm walking in victory. I'm saved. My name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're working on my place in heaven. You know, the devil ever try to mess with you? Remind him of that. I know years ago, I was first, second year at Rhema. The enemy was bombarding my mind with some things about, you know, problems that I perceived I had, and something didn't look like it was going to work out right. And the Spirit of God prompted me. This thought came to my mind. He said, you don't have any problems beside of him. And I saw it in a flash. I thought, yeah. Oh, you concerned about me? I don't have any problems beside you. Worst case scenario, if for some reason I didn't get my needs met, I didn't get my body healed, I fell over dead tomorrow, I'm saved. I just sail right out of here into glory. I said, how about you, Mr. Devil? I read in the back of the book, said, your time is short, short. Tick tock, tick tock. You are running out of time as we speak. What are you going to do? Because he was asking me what I was going to do. I said, I don't have any problems besides you. Have you read about soon? I mean, soon, this great big angel is going to come down and grab you and put chains around you. And there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it. And he's going to throw you in the pit and shut the door. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You worried about me? I got problems. I don't have any problems besides you. Somebody say, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Are you happy about it? If you believe it, you rejoice. You go, glory to God. My name's in the book. This is forever. Anybody know what Philippians 4:4 says? What does it say? Rejoice in the Lord someday. Huh? What does it say? Always. You know, what is it? In Thessalonians it says, rejoice evermore. It's the same Greek word for always and evermore. I looked it up, make sure, because I knew you'd want to know. It literally means every when. Every when. What does that mean? Now. Because anytime you can ask me, when is it? What would be the answer? When is it now? It's now. So when are we supposed to rejoice? Now. And we're always supposed to rejoice now, every when, now, and then what do we do? Rejoice, and then what do we do? Rejoice, then what do we do? Rejoice, and then this happened, and what do we do now? Rejoice. Yeah, but the report got worse. Rejoice. And it got better. Rejoice. It stayed the same. Rejoice. 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 They said they like me. Rejoice. They said they hate my guts. They said I got promoted.
Rejoice.
They said I am fired.
Rejoice.
Now, I know you're hollering about it, but can you actually do this on a Tuesday afternoon at your house or at your office? Come on, can you do it? Can you do it? You can. You can train yourself. So anything that challenges you, you go into rejoicing mode, which is believing mode. You don't care what you see or hear. You're not thanking God for the problems and the trouble and the chaos. He's not in the confusion. But you are thanking Him that He never lets you down. He never has. He never will. Just like we came through the last 5,000 issues, we're coming through this one too. He always causes me to triumph. Every time. So I can go ahead and start rejoicing about it. Even when before I see it or know how it could happen, faith shouts while the walls are still up. Stand up, everybody. And let's get something in mind right now that may have been a thorn in your side. Hallelujah. And let's just practice it. Let's respond to it. You know, healing, I mentioned healing school, Brother Hagin's ministry. The Lord led us to do this more than once. To act on the scripture in Job where it says, at destruction and at famine, thou shalt laugh. Now that is not a typical worldly response. Right? What do most people do at destruction and famine? Run and scream. And hide and feel bad and cry. Right? But faith would, how would faith respond? It would rejoice at destruction and famine. So, I would have people come up. We'd teach on it for a while. Have people come down to the front and give them a microphone and say, tell me, you know, without magnifying it, what's the problem? What you been attacked with? And they begin to say, well, I've been attacked with terminal cancer. And the doctor said I had 3 weeks to live. And the whole place would erupt laughing. And if you say, that's not funny, then you just gave yourself away. You have reverence of the disease, which means you have faith in its ability to hurt you. And that's why you talk about it reverently. Brother Hagin said he was talking about these things and our authority over the devil one time. And his pastor came up to him and said, oh, I wouldn't say that, Brother Hagin. Don't you know the devil will hear you? Did you know preachers are scared of the devil? I don't want to start anything. Don't want to stir anything up. Do you actually think that the devil will make a deal with you that you'll go, I'll be quiet, I'll leave you alone, and you leave me alone? You know what he'll say? Sure. Yeah. Deal. And as soon as you turn your back, he's going to nail you. So you might as well just get loud about it. Come on, are you listening? That's what Brother Hagin said. He raised his voice. He said, that's the very dude I said it for his benefit. And you know what reason I brought that up? There were numerous times that people stood there laughing about that, and while they were laughing, they got healed. Why? Because faith rejoices. Faith is no longer scared. Faith is no longer oppressed. Faith is no longer fearful. So I want us to do it right now. Just close your eyes. Anything that's been bugging you? Anything? Yes, that's it. That's it. Anything that's been harassing you? The most disrespectful thing you can do to the devil is laugh right in his face. That's how scared you are of him that you laugh right in his face. Ha ha! Ha ha! He said the money's not going to come. The money's not going to come. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. He said, you're going to die. You're not going to come out with this. You go, oh, you're going to die. So sad, so bad. He said, they don't love you anymore. They don't love you. Oh, they hate you. So sad, so sad. Ha, ha, ha. Do it by faith. Ha, ha, ha. I'm not afraid of you. Ha, ha. Ha, ha! I don't tremble in front of you. I refuse to tremble in front of disease, our need, our lack. I rejoice in my healer. I rejoice in my provider. I rejoice in my protector. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. 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 Woo! Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say it out loud. I refuse to fear. I refuse to be down. Everything the Lord said to me will surely come to pass. All my needs are and will be met. Hallelujah. Every one of them. Every one of them. I will finish my course. The devil has told some people, oh, you're not going to make it. You're going to die young. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You need to laugh right at that. You need to laugh at it. That's a little weak. The devil said, you ain't going to make it. You're going to die young. You're not going to make it. I'm going to kill you, he said. I'm taking you out. He ain't big enough. I said he's not big enough. Only way he could do it is if he can get you to believe it and get you in fear about it and steal your joy and steal your peace and keep you in fear and unbelief. And you're not going to do that. There's some people that need to put their foot down real strong and say, I am not yielding to depression anymore. I'm not going to do it. I'm stopping that. I'm telling you, there's a number of folks in this place right now. If your spiritual eyes were opened and you could see what's been laying with you in the bed as you wallowed in your self-pity after you took about 5 showers, you'd never do it again. Because these spiritual entities are real and they're nasty. They're ungodly. The child of God has no excuse for being depressed day after day after day. Come on, are you listening to me? Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. It's a choice. It's not based on how you feel. Quit living by your feelings. Resist those feelings and get up, even though you feel like just throwing your hands up and quitting, laugh at it. I don't care if you have to get toothpicks and prop up the corners of your mouth. I don't care if you have to start out by faith and it don't sound like it's real at all, but it's by faith. And you go, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. It's an act of faith. You're endeavoring to resist it and stand against it. And the next thing you know, there'll come a surge of Holy Spirit quickening. Come on, are you listening? He will help you. Because you're giving Him something to work with. You're giving Him something to help. He will help you and you'll begin to feel stronger and stronger and stronger. At destruction, what do? At famine, you laugh. You laugh. You laugh. Because you know the truth. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands again and thank the Lord. Let's rejoice in the good things we're living in right now. In the great things He's planned for us, we'll soon be in the now with them too. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.